This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He's a poet.
Rich Eisen.
My God, he is so funny. He is a brilliant, brilliant creator. But you know, he is also so serious. He's in charge of every detail.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, Dodgers catcher Will Smith. Host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Kurt Warner in hour number 1. Will Smith of the Dodgers is going to be joining us in hour number 2 at about 20 minutes' time. And one day, Will Smith will be able to sit on a rocking chair, look around at his family, say, I caught Clayton Kershaw and Shohei Ohtani. I won many World Series. Just the number. We don't know what the number is going to finally finish. But, man, what a World Series. I can't get enough to talk about that World Series.
No, and he saved Earth from aliens, too. He's going to be able to tell them about that.
No, different.
What was it like walking around New York City?
No. Guys, really weird. Guys, different Will Smith.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he still have all the Jordans from?
No, guys, please. I mean, has he ever walked in a living room, looked around, and nobody's there?
Right. I've never been welcome to Miami.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Whether you're watching us on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, or ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, or listening this to us on Sirius XM Channel 80. Terzo and I all rise.
All rise.
What's up, Terzo?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, Rich, before I go in on Brockman on his take on LeBron.
You had us at hello.
I called in earlier before the season for the NBA or for the NFL, and I had a bold prediction that Michael Penix would be the best quarterback this year out of that draft class, because I thought, like everybody else, that that offense was going to do something great because of Bijan. I hate to see the kid go down, and especially in this manner with another torn knee.
Right, it's terrible. By the way, you also called in prior to the season. Let me see how your work is done. Your San Francisco 49ers win-loss. You had them going 11-6, bud. And you had them at this point in time being 5-4, 6-4, 7-4, 7-5 before this Monday nighter against Carolina. You're not too far off, bud. Not too far off.
Yeah.
So
we're right there, and that defense is playing mediocre, but they're getting the job done.
Well, I mean, they're playing with a hand tied behind their Pro Bowl back, you know what I mean? So, or a couple.
Yeah,
with an
ankle tied to it as well.
All right, so you want to go in on Brockman? Because he's going to go on me at some point in the next 10 minutes is my prediction before I get to my power rankings.
Man, we have to be so happy to see this guy out there doing what he's doing at his age. I woke up this morning and felt like I had plantar fasciitis, and there's no way that I could be out there playing the way he does it at that age, man. It is awesome. We probably will never see it again, like you said, Rich. And Brockman, man, I hated Tom Brady, but I didn't want him to retire because it was always great to see him perform. It's great to watch greatness.
Yeah, why do you think
you also don't have a $2 million personal health budget?
Yeah, it'd be super awesome if I did, but obviously I don't.
We don't have to like everything, okay? I'm allowed to just think this is a whatever story.
Okay, and thanks for the call, Terzo. Greatly appreciate it. Why do you think Brady did it as long as he did?
Because he could.
Yeah.
They're sickos.
Yeah, I mean,
by the way, if you love what you do, I love doing what I do. I always say I'm going to retire. Right. Brockman
compare
laughs.
Yourself to LeBron and Brady, Mike.
But in life.
He is
in
the LeBron life. And Brady of sound audio
life,
executives.
If you like what you do, why quit? That's
exactly.
My example.
True.
He always thinks I'm talking about me. I'm not. I'm talking about in life. If you like what you do, don't quit. And I'm with that. Because the day you quit,
it's
you're going to regret
about quitting.
You quit.
It's not about quitting. There's nothing left to accomplish.
If you can do it, it's like do it until you can't do it anymore. And that's the way I look at it.
By the way, Al Michaels is still, Matt, he still sounds as great as ever. and as engaged as ever. And, you know, tomorrow night, Bills and Texans is that much more special when you hear his voice on Prime Video.
Like, don't stop if you still got it. It's not about me. It's
don't
about
stop believing, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right, well, Chris is in a mood. Let's get to it.
I'm not in a mood.
You're about to be.
You're forcing me to say nice things about LeBron.
Say something.
Okay, very good. I don't need to do that.
It's time for my Week 12 Power Rankings. My Week 12 Power Rankings, presented by Sonos. Hit it.
This is my
Power Rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power Rankings.
All right. Rubber's meeting the road. Yes. I'm breaking some eggs to make the omelet. Here we go.
Let's go.
I can't quit this team. I won't quit them. I still can't quit them. I still can't quit the Detroit Lions. Ooh. Oh man, I'm putting them at 10. I still think they're going to beat most. If they're in the top third of this league. I think most of the teams that Clark Coordinator and Super Dan are going to be going up against have their hands full with this team. I am concerned about their offensive line not being as good as previous years. And a team like the Eagles, a team like the Broncos, a team that has a front seven that can get after you. We saw getting Goff off the spot. What happens? Even with Gibbs going off, I'm concerned. I've got 8 more days after this taping before the NFL game day morning Thanksgiving show where I have an opportunity to mulligan off this choice for my NFC champions. At this point in time, I'm just going to take it one power ranking at a time. They're 10th, down 4 spots. New to the list. They have not been on the list all season long. I am finally putting the Chicago Bears on this list. 9th on the list. I got to give it up. I understand. Oh, by the way, every time, right? Every time?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And Caleb started it.
No, I'm just saying.
Good job, TJ.
The Chicago Bears have not been on this list because the way they win is pulling it out of their orify. I don't know if that's the word. And they're taking the ball away, which is something that is not repeatable. It just isn't. I mean, it could be a feature on one side with taking the ball away, but the feature can't be we win, you know, at the last second every time.
And that was the Chiefs feature last year.
That's true. I get, but they're on the list. At least they have made it.
I like it.
They are 7-3. They are the leaders of a division going into the year. A lot of people thought was the toughest division in football. I'm putting them there. Number 8, up 2 spots. Ooh. I got it. I understand they struggled against a team that has not been able to beat many teams and had just lost to the Jets. But I'm putting the Ravens here. I still think they are one of the best teams in football. Their defense is balling out. They have turned a corner. They have one of the best running backs in the history of the sport and a multiple-time MVP that could have easily been a 3-time MVP coming into the season, getting his sea legs back under him. I love some of the imagination, the spinorama fake tush push of Mark Andrews scoring. I liked what the Ravens are doing, and I'm going to give them credit for getting back to 500, and they're going to win over the next month. I bet you that's an 8-game win streak before they face the Patriots, Chris. That's the way I'm feeling it. Number 7 back on the list. They're going on the list, off the list, from the top of the list, off the list, now back on the list. I'm putting the Bills here. Hey, if you're going to, TJ, look up in the script of the book. If a quarterback scores 6 times, 3 times one way, 3 times another way, you're good. Can you write that in there?
Sure.
Okay. If it's not in there.
I think, I don't think it is.
They're back on the list. I'm concerned about their defense. I'm concerned that they lose track of number 4 every now and then.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned that at some point, Gabe Davis is catching passes for him again. Back to the Future. I guess it doesn't matter. Tyrell Shavers, it doesn't matter if you don't know any of these people and they're not on your fantasy teams, as long as they're on Josh Allen's team. They're at the Texans. This is a winnable game. Short week on the road. Get it. Tough defense for the Texans. Get it. It's Davis Mills again. Get after him. Otherwise, you're off the list again. And I'm sure that is what they're thinking about going into Houston. Number six, down one spot. How can you lose a spot when you're on a bye week?
Yeah.
Because you can. The Colts are six. Number five, it's because I just couldn't. I think if the Seahawks play the Colts, they win. So I downgraded.
Really?
Yeah, man. The Seattle Seahawks went into Los Angeles. You were there, Chris. Four interceptions, four field goals settled for. And they still had the ball in the air with every single Rams' hearts in their throats, whether in the stands or on the sidelines, to win this game. They've got to feel good about themselves in the way they lost, even though losing never lets you feel good. This photograph right here, right?
That catch was amazing.
Of JSN with his one hand. Like, he's basically looking at the ball in his hands going, yeah, I've got it.
I'm worried he's their only threat on offense.
I mean, Kenneth Walker looked pretty darn good. And I still think they're a top five team. And if the Colts, yeah, I like the Seahawks. I can't drop them below the Colts. But here we go. This is what's going to piss you off. I'm moving the Patriots down one and the Broncos up one. The Patriots are are fourth and the Broncos are third. And the only reason why, the Broncos beating the Chiefs at home after a bye week is more impressive to me than extending your win streak to eight games like the Patriots did against the Jets on a Thursday night. It's not fair. I totally get it. Could the Patriots beat the Broncos if they face each other? Sure. Can the Broncos beat the Patriots as well? Absolutely. I have to say, despite how the Chiefs have been playing, you're still taking on Mahomes and Kelsey and Rice and that defense with Bolton and Chris Jones and Karlaftis and all of those guys after a bye when they're most invincible. And they won the game. So I'm putting them at three. And I'm putting the... And they are, by the way, on top of the Patriots in the conference due to tie breaks. But I am putting the Eagles at two, where they stay like before.
Like before.
And then I'm keeping the Rams at one. That stays like before.
Like before.
I still think the Rams are the best team in football. I need to see the Eagles offensively catch up to what the Rams are doing. And I do think we saw two of the best five teams in football face each other just up the road. Chris, I think you kept your tickets to see it, too. And I think the Eagles are as dominant on defense as the Broncos are and vice versa. And I think the Patriots are collectively together, putting together something that is a run for the ages. And that's why they're in my top five. Colts 6, Bills 7, Ravens 8, Bears 9, Lions 10. And yes, Christopher, I dropped the Chiefs off the list along with the Chargers. That loss in Jacksonville was, I wrote it down here. As a guy who played for Michigan, who's last? Booty, there it is, right there.
Booty, Jake. Was,
Jake Booty.
That's it right there. And those are my power rankings brought to you by Sonos. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more. At Sonos.com, Sonos products look as good as they sound. Denver's on a bye, and New England is moving on to Cincinnati. No Jamar Chase. You know what? That's the way it used to be. Taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, who's suspended? Adrian Peterson. Taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who's not there? Oh, Antonio Brown. That was a hallmark of the Patriots Super Bowl dominant era. I mean, these things just get dropped out of the sky. Oh, Jamar Chase is not available. Yeah, when you're the one time they take on the Patriots.
When you rely on knuckleheads. It's all working. Knucklehead things.
It's all working, man. It's just like back in the day, head coach getting his second swing at being a head coach, and he's a little bit different, just different enough to be better. Second year starter
and buckle up.
Second year starter getting a shot. Nobody expected it. They go on a run for the ages. Check that box.
When's the flake gate out?
Bunch of guys collectively. Then you look at like really that's one of the best receiving and running back corps in the National Football League. Uh huh.
History repeats itself, guys.
It's what it looks like right now, man. That's what it looks like right now.
Probably should have had the Niners on this list.
I was thinking about it, but who am I? I don't know, man. I still think the Lions, I had them on there, and then I popped the Lions on. I almost had both of my Super Bowl predicted teams off the list entering week 12. When I went back and forth, I'm like, Lions versus the San Francisco 49ers, what happens?
I think the Lions win.
I don't think the Niners have the pass rush to make Jared Goff blink. Maybe the Lions win.
The Lions have a better defense.
You know, that's the way
Purdy is better than Goff.
Look at you all of a sudden coming around on Brock Purdy. You are the Mr. Like, why should he even come back? Look at Mac Jones play.
Well, that was kind of for the segment.
Oh, I didn't know that. But
it's fake.
Okay, you've done a 180 on one of my sons.
I mean, proof is in the pudding. He was awesome last week.
Let me ask you this question. When the Lions take on the Bears again, you think Bears are going to win that one?
I do.
Okay. Let's keep going
I just don't think Goff is a big game quarterback.
Let's keep going here. You think the Colts beat the Seahawks if they face each other?
I do. That's the number one offense in the NFL.
What happens Bills versus Ravens second time around?
Bills.
Okay. What about Ravens versus Bears again? What do you think? They beat them with Snoop Huntley. What do you think if Lamar's back? You know what I mean? Like, that's why everybody's just pooping on the Ravens because they were 1-5. Well, guess what? They're 4-0. They're 4-0 in the last month. And coming up next, put the schedule up one more time. Let's do
got
it.
Got a good schedule. Dude.
Let's do it. Then Will Smith of the Dodgers is going to join us. Here we go. Jets, Cincinnati.
I mean,
it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy up until Pittsburgh. Until
all at home. And then they're at Cincinnati.
That's breaking, the next four. It's breaking right for
which
them.
Which is why I snagged Lamar Jackson in our guillotine league after TJ had put him on the block. And that's an 8-game win streak home for New England. Let's go. Let's go. Old school. That's the old thing, too, with New England. Old school. Looks like they might have to play the Ravens and the Broncos, Steelers, just like the old times.
Back. We're 2010.
And I'm sure Chris will remind you, more often than not, they got through them. Ravens can, and you can count, like, you could
Ravens
just remember.
Ravens was always tough.
You could remember.
Ravens was always tough.
You could remember the one time it didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Ray Rice just ran all over him in the wild card round, or divisional.
So, there's all of that, man. Those are my power rankings. What do you think? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. A World Series hero is about to join us. Will Smith of the Dodgers. We've never spoken to him, never met him. I admire his work. We'll ask him about that silly dance they do.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. We're back here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, we're also here on in Los Angeles, California, on ESPN 710. Will Smith, Los Angeles Dodgers catcher, is here on the program. It is great to see you, Will. Great to see you, man. And, you know, let's just jump into it. You're now a few weeks removed. When you look back on this World Series, what do you think of, Will?
Oh, man, there were so many good moments. But I think just as a whole, you know, you're talking to, you know, I was at the MLB Awards show, the golf tournament, talking to all those guys this past weekend. Everyone just kept talking about how, like, incredible the series was. It was just back and forth. You know, we had the 18-inning game, you know, 7 games. That's an extra innings. It was just so back and forth, such good baseball played between, you know, two really good teams. But yeah, I'm just happy we won it. You know, that would have really been tough going 7 and losing it. But yeah, that was a really good Blue Jays team, and you know, it was just a really fun series to be a part of.
Well, I mean, there's so many questions to ask you. The first one though is about you. What is it like to catch 74 innings in a week and a half, Will?
I was a little worn out. Yeah, that 18-inning game, that took a lot out of me. That was a grind. And then coming back, having to catch the next 2 days after that was tough. You know, we were doing everything, IVs, just a lot of treatment, just try to keep the legs under you. But, you know, everybody was grinding. You know, their guys were too. So it was just who could kind of gut it out and, you know, stick to it and keep going.
Yeah, because, again, I was going to ask you, because obviously you're still a young man, 30 years old. But catching and being able to hit and catch in a World Series is such a challenge. And then 74 innings, Matt, you probably set a record. I don't know I know there was a World Series longer. I didn't look it up. I don't know if the catcher caught every single moment of that World Series. Yeah. You potentially set a record, Will, you know?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I was told and stuff and saw. But yeah, it's just crazy. You know, it's just a lot of work throughout the year and the off season to, you know, have the strong legs and all that and be able to, you know, not let it really affect me too much.
All right. So let's get to the moment, of truth, the 7th game of this World Series. The ball is hit to Miguel Rojas. The infield is in. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is just out of your field of vision to your left. The play goes to Rojas. Walk me through, because I'm sitting at home thinking this series is over because the way that he collected it, corralled it, and threw to you, I thought was too late. What was that like from your vantage point, Will?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're kind of preparing before the pitch is thrown. You know, if it's hit to whoever, you're hoping maybe you have time to turn a double play or something. But as soon as it was hit, you know, he took a drop step. You knew it wasn't going to be a double play. So then I just turned into a first baseman there. Just make sure you get one out. And, yeah, luckily my foot stayed down enough. But that was a little hairy for a couple seconds when they replayed it. But yeah. Got the out, moved on, and got the game going.
Well, that was my question for you, is what was going through your mind while the entire World Series, your ability to potentially repeat the entire season, mm-hmm. was in a replay machine?
Yeah, I was pretty sure, you know, the throw beat him and everything. Didn't realize my foot came off at all.
Wow.
For, you know, that half inch or whatever. So I was pretty confident they replayed it. You know, we get 2 replays in the postseason. So, you know, usually that first one they just kind of throw out there is like a maybe, maybe not. Who cares? We still have the second replay. So I kind of thought that's what was going on. And then it plays on the Jumbotron. And, you know, I see my foot come off and it's like, oh, crap, here we go. Like, I can't imagine ending our season this way. You know, it's a little bit of panic. But I was pretty confident after seeing the replay that he was going to be out. The call was going to stand.
And did you notice so much conversation, Will, about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's secondary lead not being as large as he wished, or the Blue Jays subsequently wished it could have been? Did you notice pre-pitch from Yamamoto that he was kind of even with Max Muncy at the time? Did you notice any of that prior to the pitch?
Yeah, I noticed. You know, Muncy and I were always kind of looking maybe for a back pick right there or something. Usually that's with just a man on third.
Else on, but, you know, he's got to stay close in case there's a back pick, a line drive. He can't get, you know, more than Muncy. That's just typical baseball 101 on that. But, yeah, that's just a tough spot, you know, to lose, to come up, you know, a couple inches short. But, I don't think he did anything wrong. It was just, that's just how it had to be.
Okay. Cause that's been a large conversation. And then it, as if you thought maybe your heart rate couldn't get any faster than the next pitch.
Yep.
Right. Or the next batter.
Yeah. Yeah. Clement, Ernie, you know, putting that ball out there, Pajes and Kike running into each other. It was, yeah, that was a little hairy for a second too.
So what was, again, you don't have the best seat in the house for that, but what was your perspective from behind home plate for this moment that we have on the screen right here, Will?
Yeah, I think Kike, I don't know if he was playing a little shallower than normal because taking away a little blue pit, you know, make him burn you over your head. But I thought it was Kike's ball the whole way, just where it was hit. You know, I'm kind of watching Kike, and I wasn't too confident that first couple of seconds that he was going to get all the way back there. Yeah, then Pajes just kind of came out of nowhere and took it from him. And there, yeah, there's the picture, and it was, I mean, what a play by Andy. That was, you know, neat. If the ball drops at all, it's game over.
Well, I mean, let's talk about coming out of nowhere, Will, because he did come out of nowhere in the middle of the inning, out of the dugout. And, yeah, you know, again, you performed well, extremely well, terrifically well, from the two hole after being moved around in the lineup with Mookie being dropped down from two to three and then three to four. And then you're inserted in the two hole from which you hit the ultimately game winning home run. Rojas is in at second. The reason why there's even a bottom of the ninth is because he homers. Can you walk me through what it's like to be managed by Dave Roberts, Will?
Yeah, he's great. He's the only manager I've had, so I've been pretty lucky. No one really to compare him to him, but I've, you know, we get along great. We like to golf together and all that. But yeah, Doc, I mean, it seems like the last 2 years he's pulled all the right strings. You know, knowing what the team needs, knowing how, you know, when we're at our best and who's out there. You know, last year it was where the bullpen going and leaning into that. This year it was leaning into starters, bringing starters out of the bullpen. You know, lining guys up correctly, getting Miggy in there for game 6 and 7, just moving guys around and kind of playing who's hot, who's not a little bit, but just sticking with us. You know, he's always had our back. He's always trusting us. He's always, you know, letting us know that he trusts us to just go out there, play our best baseball. And, you know, I think that instills a lot of confidence in us and, you know, gives us a little bit of a slight edge to, you know, win these tight ball games.
Yeah, and did I see him running the bases prior to game 6 in Toronto, keeping you loose in a way? Like what was that?
Yeah, him
what
and Heisman were racing.
What was that?
Him and Kimmy were racing the bases before game 6. And I think, Doc, I don't think he's going to be doing that anymore.
Because he face-planted, right? Did he
face-planted? Oh, yeah. Everybody caught on camera. He comes in. He's you know, covered in dirt, asking for, you know, Tylenol, Advil, and all that stuff. I don't know if you heard his hammy, but yeah, he was kind of in a rough spot for a minute or two.
Hey, I'm the last guy to, you know, have fun at anybody running. You know, so I just thought it was, again, you know, you're down 3-2 after that amazing game 3 win. The next two go to the Blue Jays, and you show up in Toronto. He's running bases and, you know, having a good time. I'm wondering if that's a lead that you guys all collectively took from him.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just keeping it light, you know, reminding them, everybody just to kind of relax, not be so uptight. You know, not forcing it. Obviously, that's kind of a, you know, spur of the moment decision. He wasn't forcing it. So it's genuine, you know, you know, follow me. We're just going to keep it relaxed and, you know, not be all uptight and go out tomorrow and play good baseball and try to win a ball game.
And it also helps, Will Smith. I have them written down here just so I can remember the names. Shohei Ohtani helps to have, by the way, I haven't written them down. Yamamoto and Glasnow and Snell to be able to go out and throw those guys in relief and starting and things of that nature. How do you as a catcher keep your, you know, wits about you, knowing that these guys are all different types of pitchers and catching them all into the, in the crucible of games 6 and 7, Will, is there a process that you can lay out there for us?
Yeah, there's for sure a process. You know, it kind of starts with talking with Pryor, talking with, you know, Danny Lehman and Connor McGinnis and Bardo, the pitching coaches. You know, just talking through hitters, talking through, you know, our pitcher strengths, you know, Shohei's strengths or Glasnow, what he's doing well, what he's not been doing well. whoever it is, whoever, you know, is going to be out there for us, kind of going through the plan and going through their hitters and all that. Yeah, then going, you know, getting in the game and just kind of reading the game, reading, reacting. But it's just a constant conversation with those guys, with the pitchers, obviously, as well. You know, what needs to be done, what we're seeing the hitters are doing, how they're adjusting, you know, how do we need to adjust? You know, it's just this chess game that keeps going on, and it's fun, and it's intense. It's you know, it's definitely a mental grind as well, thinking through, you know, however many outs we had to get, and facing, you know, such a good lineup so many times, you know, getting Vlad Guerrero out. I mean, basically eight games with the 18 getting game, you know, 30 something times, like trying to figure out how to do that is just one thing its own, but they got, you know, 9-12 guys on their bench that are just as tough. So it's just having those conversations and talking through things and being on the same page, and then just, you know, instilling that conviction in the pitcher you got on the mound.
I mean, there's so many things I want to ask you about in the few minutes I have left with you here. The most impressive thing you've ever seen Shohei Ohtani do on a field, off it.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I mean, he started taking BP. When was it? Like before the World Series or before the NLCS? Mm-hmm. We made him hit in the last group by himself just because no one wanted to hit with him and just be completely, you know, embarrassed because he's hitting balls out of the stadium and, you know, we're getting it, giving it our all and getting it six rows deep, and he's putting another 100 feet. It's just, it's incredible, you know, how strong he is. You know, throws 100 miles an hour, just the power behind everything he does. Is incredible. But, you know, you guys don't get to see it, but we get to see, you know, the work he puts in, you know, in the weight room, his dedication to his craft is, you know, second to none. And, you know, he's been doing that since he was a kid. You know, you can just see that's his work ethic and that's just who he is. And, you know, we're just lucky to have him and, you know, have a guy as special and as talented as him, but also a guy that works hard too.
He makes it all look easy, Will. He really does.
Yeah, he really does. It's
like, does he sweat?
It's annoying at times, but you know, year two now with him, you're just kind of like, all right, he's with us. Let him go do his thing, and yeah. You can't get too annoyed about that.
Have you ever seen him sweat? Does he sweat? Does he have sweat glands?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to make sure. You know, because again, the equivalent I make is, you know, a couple times I covered the U.S. Open in tennis. It's Roger Federer, where he never sweat or didn't look like it. He made everything the most difficult look simple, and had an air of invincibility, you know. Yeah. And being a teammate of his must be glorious. It just must be.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the
pretty
day.
Pretty much. We're glad he's with us for sure.
I'm sure. And then, you know, Kershaw, my goodness, I haven't even brought up a first ballot Hall of Famer. What was that moment like in game three, game on the line? He's never pitched relief like this before, right?
Yeah.
And what do you say to Clayton Kershaw on the mound as he's getting ready to pitch? What is the exchange with somebody like him in a moment?
Man, I don't even remember. you know, he's such a competitor and such like he's not emotional, but he's fiery out there. You know, when he's in game mode and pitching, he's a little bit hard to talk to. Especially on the mound, you know, he doesn't want to be talking on the mound very much. In between innings, it's great, but yeah, that's just he comes out. Hey, we gotta get an out. Like, do your thing, compete, just make pitches, one pitch at a time. Do your thing, you know, trust it. That's basically what you say. I don't remember what I said exactly, but that's what you say. But yeah, he got that big out. You know, bases loaded. I feel like it was like a 9 or 10 pitch at bat. I don't even remember, but guy rolls over and. Yeah, huge out there in the 12th, 13th inning, whatever it was.
Yeah, and then I didn't even bring up Justin Dean with the ball that hits in the crack of the fence line down in the warning track. This is the wildest baseball series I've ever seen, Will.
Yeah, it had everything this year. It was special. It was fun to be a part of.
Including a walk-off. Well, not walk-off. A game-winning World Series. Is hitting a game-winning Game 7 extra inning home run. Again, I know it wasn't home and it wasn't walk-off. Is that the stuff you dreamt about in Kentucky growing up?
Well, oh, yeah, for sure. I think every kid, you know, dreams of that, you know, getting the last strikeout on the mound or, you know, hitting a walk-off homer or, you know, a base hit or whatever. You know, that's what you know, you play in the backyard with your friends. You're constantly playing those situations and, you know, just having fun with it. And, it's kind of what I did. You know, just got a pitch to hit, you got to get swing off, and yeah, got over the wall and put us up, and then got to go three more outs the next inning.
All right. So you're sitting in your car. Why? Explain why you're sitting in your car, Will. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm in the car. I got two little girls, and they're playing inside. So I was just stepping out, a little peace and quiet. You know, or else they'd be jumping in this screen for sure.
How old are they? What are their names?
3 and 1. Charlotte's 3 and Layton's 1.
Okay. So one day, Charlotte and Lincoln, is that the names you mentioned?
Layton.
Layton. Two okay. Girls. Charlotte and Layton. Okay. One day, you'll be able to look at them and say, Dad's got all these rings. Right now you got 3. And I caught Shohei Ohtani and Clayton Kershaw. And World Series MVP and Yamamoto, he's only just getting started. Do you sit back and think, again, I know you're just 30. Do you sit back and think about what's gone on, what's happening to you, Will?
Yeah, it's definitely crazy to, you know, take a step back, reflect, you know, kind of reflect on my whole career so far. And also, it's, you know, it's exciting to see, you know, I've got 8 more years with the Dodgers, where what we can do. You know, it's a special organization, just grateful for, you know, their trust in me to have you back there for 8 more years. It's just amazing. But yeah, I think, you know, when it's all said and done, who knows, but just being able to, you know, remember hanging out with the guys, in a clubhouse, just working through things, grinding together, traveling together, you know, getting close to their families. Like it's just a special, you know, special group each and every year. And, you know, we just really enjoy it.
I couldn't be more happy for you, man. So is there a retirement coordinator on the Dodgers to talk about about the 401k plans and stuff like that? Or is that just,
I know, right? With all the deferred money and everything?
You know, I mean, you sock it away. Is that, do they have an actual IRA executive in Chavez Ravine to talk to?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I still got a while till then. Okay. Take that, like Kirsch or whoever else.
Okay, very good. Well, we're all happy to have you here, Will. Hopefully we can get you another time. We could talk about other sports, other things. And I guess to show our happiness, do we do this? Do we all
do
this thing? Is that it? Is that how we're supposed to celebrate? Is this true that was, you're mocking Freddie Freeman? Is that what you're doing?
No. Well, it started with our you know, our strength coach Travis Smith. He you know, he loves a good hip lock in the weight room. We're always doing hip locks for the last couple of years.
Okay.
So it's actually a workout, and then I don't know how it became our, like, you know, hit celebration, double celebration, but yeah, now it's just kind of a joke. Honestly, it's just a joke. See who does a good one or bad one. Okay. Who remembers or doesn't remember to do it after they get a base hit. Okay. That's kind of all it is.
Oh, I thought it was Freddie Freeman was dancing at a wedding and you're making fun of his moves or something like that.
Well, he's got the doubles, the Freddie double, I don't know, whatever that is, the wave in the hands.
Okay.
Yeah, that was at our Dodger gala a couple years ago.
Okay.
Just dancing to, I don't remember who was playing, but
so it doesn't have an actual name? There's no name for it?
It's just the Freddy. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Because we have Rich Eisen Show Consulting around here, Will. This is our area of expertise. We could come up with a name for it.
The Freddy.
Okay. Or on behalf of Yankee fans and Red Sox fans and Mets fans. Annoying. We could just call it annoying. Yep, exactly. You know, Will. Exactly. You know what I mean? But we have to, our teams have to stop it if we're annoyed by it. That's the main issue, you know?
Exactly.
Listen, enjoy time with your family. Greatly appreciate this. Thank you for on behalf of every baseball fan everywhere, participating in one of the greatest sporting series ever in any sport. It was awesome, man. And I hope the sport grows off of it, for sure.
Yep. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Anytime. You know, we're local whenever you are. So thanks for the time, Will. You be well.
Sounds good, guys.
That's Will Smith, everybody. Yeah. 3-time World Series champion who's confirmed that your hat is annoying.
Oh.
And
but he did accept me as a fan.
Why wouldn't he?
Exactly.
The more the merrier.
If I'm Will, I'm getting a clause in my contract. Wasn't it like 6 straight years of Will Smith has won a World Series?
So in baseball, and also if you Google Will Smith contract, Will Smith of the San Jose Sharks popped up. I mean... There's a lot of Smiths named Will.
I'd be like, if you want to guarantee yourself a World Series, you got to have me on the squad.
NFL Network researcher. Bill Smith.
That's right, Bill Smith.
He just calls himself Bill.
That's right.
The great Bill Smith, who looks just like 2010 Joe Flacco. Not 2025 Joe Flacco. All right, we take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Florio beckons.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. For the radio audience, we just showed a video 10 years ago when Ray Liotta came in and took the Goodfellas poster in our green room off the wall. Now, I got this poster at a charity golf tournament in 2000. And it's signed by Ray Liotta, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Goodfellas movie poster, and Martin Scorsese. All four of them, I paid four figures for it in an auction. And he was appearing on our show, and he yanked it off the wall to say his signature was not real. And we took it out of the case, and he crossed off his signature and initialed it like it's a check, right?
Right, it was right. Great.
And then re-signed it. And initially tried to break the plexiglass with the back of a small axe, right? And it left a broken spot in the plexiglass that is right under the forehead part of him on the poster. It's just amazing. It's a great keepsake.
It's amazing.
And it got us to thinking for years, right? Years, because this happened in 2015, are the rest of the signatures real? And so we got a boxing glove signed by Robert De Niro sent to us for a promotion, a movie that he was doing, sent to the studio, and there's the signature on the boxing glove. And that was the only way that we could measure whether the signature we have on the Goodfellas poster matches the one that has been authenticated to be sent here. And it doesn't look anything like it.
Not even close.
Yeah.
And so that was our only way to authenticate. Until Robert De Niro himself zoomed into the show and I brought it up to him. I need to ask you if yours is fake, too, because that would freak me out. Is that your real autograph, Robert De Niro?
I won't go so far as to say that. But if I looked at the whole poster and saw the way it was, I might be able to give you a better idea.
So I have been hoodwinked.
So I'll sign one for you next time.
I will take it.
Whenever you send it.
I appreciate. I will do that because Ray did in fact bust the thing open and like a check he crossed it out and initialed the cross out and then signed it himself again.
If you send me that one, okay. I'll do the same thing. If I don't think it's mine, and I'll write it out again.
Thank you. So we did send it to Robert De Niro. That was back in March. Yep. Man's busy. I think he's traveled the world. I think I even saw him at the Pope. And so he has re-signed it and sent it back. And there it is. I mean, it just arrived yesterday. And it sure looks like the new one at the bottom. That's the real one. Looks nothing like the one that's been on there.
Rich.
Nothing like it.
It looks like the glove signature.
Well, we actually put a side-by-side of that. Is the glove the real thing? Because it doesn't look like what we know is 100% from the man's hand.
I think that glove is real.
I do too. The way the De Niro is with the O and the dot of the eye.
Yeah.
I think the glove is real.
Glove could be, also, here's the deal with the top one, right? You understand, these guys probably sit there
and sign signature.
Sure.
After signature. Right. And then after a while, it's going to get tired and sloppy.
Right. Did he lean over? We don't know if it's.
Yeah, sure.
But the bottom line is Robert De Niro. Now, like Ray Liotta, has re-signed this movie poster. I got Pesci and Scorsese to go. My belief is Scorsese's real and somebody signed the other three guys is fake. Because the Scorsese one, if you look online, looks exactly like the real thing.
Well, we know where Joe plays golf.
Well, Rich, here's the deal, right?
I should do that. I should do it.
You got to get it. Rich, you're 0 for 2, so I'm thinking.
Yeah.
None of them are real.
Let's keep going.
I mean, let's go.
Let's keep going. Now all we got the muscle. I know it's a different type of movie from a different director. But just updating you on all that. Hyundai Hope on Wheels is a spot that you should go to HyundaiUSA.com and learn more about something that you may not know about. Which is every Hyundai sold for the last 27 years has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Over 850 dealers nationwide together have raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Again, HyundaiUSA.com. Search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. It's awesome. Because at Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Our friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, coming up in hour number 3.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.